Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Greetings. My name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Amethyst Rain, and she'll be speaking to us about her book and her philosophy of Tarot for Grown-Ups. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you tonight?
Okay, I'm okay.
Oh, come on. You're better than okay. What's
I'm
up?
Okay. Not much. I don't have any rain like some people we've heard about, or tornadoes bless people's hearts out there.
I know.
So sad.
Tell us about yourself, Maureen.
Okay, I am I'm a tarot person. I feel that I know that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. That's all I got to say about that. And I also work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com.
And Maureen is a true authentic, to coin her phrase.
Thank you very
yes.
much.
And a tarotologist, would that be it?
You know, I put that there because it just is so cool. But no, you know, because I do use astrology. Like you, Brenda, I use astrology and numerology, but I am self-taught. So I, you know, it's coming from a long, long time ago. I just kind of think that everything kind of combines in itself.
Right. Well, you know, reading the cards and the tarot, you know, as far as being self-taught, I think you almost have to be self-taught because they have to, they have to speak to you. So you have to make your connections with the cards. And I don't think that any books that you read are really going to give that to you, you know?
I agree. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Maureen. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I am very well. Thank you, Brenda.
So, how's your little kitty? I'm always interested in the little one. How is he doing?
He's doing well. He's been catching things. There was a dragonfly that he brought home today, which I don't like because it's a spiritual symbol. I have a Buddha on my deck that fell and smashed. So,
oh no.
I've got broken Buddha and a dead dragonfly. I'm not sure they're good signs.
Well, you might as well look that one up, right?
Yes, yeah.
So tell us about what you do.
Well, I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics, and I've been studying tarot a lot recently, so I'm excited that we're having another show on tarot because I plan to listen in and learn.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And then our young blood, Stephen, how are you doing?
Greetings, Lady Brenda. Thank you. I'm fine. Hope you are as well.
Tell us about what you do on Psychic Access.
Well, I am a tarotist, which is a person who analyzes tarot cards and does tarot reading. So I'm also excited about tonight's content. My take on the tarot, I like to think of it as a collection of archetypes. Powerful symbols that we can use to diagnose problems and also solve problems. And also I'm fascinated by them as tools for prediction as well. So I've also got my notepad and my pen ready to take notes. Also at Psychic Access, I practice astrology like Steve. I'm interested in hermetic astrology and yeah, that's what I do. Numerology is a big thing. I'm really interested in how these three disciplines connect with each other: astrology, tarot, numerology. And the way I work, my method, these three arts and sciences are indistinguishable almost.
Well, they're interconnected anyhow through the tarot. Yeah,
absolutely. I rely on them as a system of checks and balances to make sure that the reading I'm giving is on point, is accurate. Because, you know, a lot of times with clients, you run up against someone, you have to confront them with information that they resist, you see, that they might have fallen into the habit of deceiving themselves about or don't want to face it because it's ugly. And so, you know, it's nice to have that backup information, like, okay, well, all of the astrological and numerological signatures are supporting my my judgment here. So, you know, it really helps you.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
And now a little bit about myself. I also read the tarot, and I use the tarot, the crystal ball, and the playing cards, and I'm a predictive psychic, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. And I work with all you lovely people on psychicaccess.com. Now, our guest tonight, Amethyst Rain, she shares a very personal relationship with the cards. And she's not attached to any traditional path. Amethyst Rain has been in the trenches, and she teaches you to really see the cards as an experience as a whole, not as a grueling memorization project that you'll inevitably get frustrated with and drop at the next opportunity. Instead, Amethyst explains how she learned to view the cards and waste no time doing it. Her descriptions of the cards and the relationships to one another and the querent are spicy and full of intelligence. This is definitely this book that she's written, and her philosophy is for adults, make no mistake. So we might have to do some bleeping out, but it's an excellent way to gain a different perspective on tarot and the puzzle pieces that make up this art. Amethyst Rain is a professional psychic and spiritual feminist. She has practiced her own brand of paganism for the past 30 years and is a high priestess of the Bristol Wicks Coven. Amethyst is also a practitioner of holistic healing through Reiki, crystal therapy, and chakra balance. For more information on Amethyst, you can visit her website at www.ladyamethyst, and that's amythyst.webs.com. Hello, and merry meet, Amethyst.
Fresh. And I'll give you a reading because I just couldn't do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but people seem to expect psychics or tarot readers, they expect you to be super fantastic and everything to be over the top every time. And that's not the way this works.
Your bad days. You can have your off days.
You can have your people you just can't click with or you can't connect with. I also won't read for people close to me. I won't read for my children, and I won't read for my spouse. It's too close. I think I give my best readings with total strangers, people that you know nothing about.
Well, I have to admit, I do read for my husband because he begs me to. And then when I tell him something, because he's in Aries, he likes to say, oh, that's never going to happen. And then when it happens, let me ask you, so the tarot, you know, we know that giving the readings is a healing experience, and, you know, it can really move a person forward, and, you know, giving them the information, laying it all out before them so they can see it and they can deal with it. Can you explain some of the ways you feel that other ways that tarot can heal people? Because you are a healer.
I don't know if you have noticed, but I practice witchcraft, and I practice a combination of Wicca and hoodoo and green witchcraft. And I use tarot cards in mojo bags. I use tarot cards in mojo bags for healings, for love magics, and that type
of
thing.
Do you put the cards in there, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I will put cards in there. I have decks that I just buy just for that purpose, so in case I destroy the cards in the process, like candle magic, burn them in a candle. But there are lots of ways that I use the energy of those cards in my own spiritual practices. And I don't know if I've run into anyone else who's done that or not, but in both of my books, in both of my tarot books, I have spells in the back that and mojo bags for energy and connection with herbs.
That's very interesting. Now, what about with Reiki? I mean, I know as a Reiki master myself, I know that you can put Reiki into anything. Do you ever put Reiki into a reading that you're giving somebody, or Reiki into a card if you're working, like if somebody asks you to, for example, you know, with the Reiki distance healing or something, mm-hmm. Do you ever combine the card with a Reiki healing?
No, I haven't. That's an interesting concept, but I haven't never done that personally. But I would imagine you could do incredible things through that energy with the card, because I believe the cards themselves have energy, but I still don't want to put so much importance on the cards that I give them power, because the power is not in the card. It's in the mind.
No, it's in the symbolism of the card.
Right. The symbolism and the mind of the person who's using them. But yes, I believe that you can connect with Reiki on many levels that way with the cards. As far as readings go, sometimes readings turn into therapy sessions, actually. Where once you've read for someone and you get this information out there and you get them the possibilities for the future, it's like something in them, like a dam burst, and they just suddenly will start talking, or they'll start crying, or they'll pour their heart out to you, and just, you know, and it's kind of a cleansing, and it's therapeutic. And by the time you're done, I think that it has oftentimes started a healing process within each client. You know, if you run into someone who has issues, that would bring
those
emotions.
So it's unlocked a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about, you know, when we're giving the readings and we're giving the positive information, we're giving the negative information, what is you? How do you feel as a straightforward reader that you need to present some of the negative stuff that comes up in a reading?
And the most trouble that I have are with women in love. Women will have a tendency to stay in very destructive and potentially dangerous relationships because they simply cannot make that disconnect. It seems as though females can make tremendously strong bonds to their spouses, and even under the worst circumstances, they still cling to that individual. So that's the hardest part I have, is getting through to people who are in really bad relationships that this isn't good for you, because a lot of times obsessiveness comes into play in those circumstances.
Hmm. So... how do you personally use the tarot cards in your everyday life? I mean, do you ever do a spread for yourself? I know you say you don't read for yourself, but do you ever like pick a card or something like that?
I do. I keep a tarot journal, actually.
Perfect. I love to hear that. Tell us about your tarot journal.
How
you do it.
Near my bed, and like in the mornings or when I'm alone, I will pull a card for the day, and I'll jot down thoughts that come to me according to that card. Or I like to do cards by threes, and I just keep track like a diary for each day, which cards you draw and what sorts of events that pop into your head, or what sort of energy. And it's so right. And so often the thing is that it doesn't give you, or my brain anyway, doesn't give me little tiny, very specific particulars. I mean, like on a day I get cards that tell me like the shit's going to hit the fan. It's just something is really going to be total off, but I won't know what. But when it happens, and it will, then I say, aha, it was this. But I, you know, I'm probably just not gifted enough to be able to pinpoint all that. It's just that I can see something coming, and I know it's coming, and I don't know precisely what until it hits. But at least I feel that I'm prepared for it.
So it's like a dream diary, but a tarot diary.
Oh, I keep a dream journal too. That is fascinating. It is, because if you've kept it long enough and you go past like over the past year of your life and you read your dreams, you can see where all of your concerns lay. you can see kind of how your life was being affected by certain people or circumstances. You can even see how things that happened in your childhood might still pop into your head and be rustling around in there and stirring things up. It's really fascinating. But the trick is that everyone forgets their dreams, at least everyone I know. They forget their dreams so easily when you wake up in the morning that you have to keep that pad and pen like right by the bed. And yes, don't say good morning to anyone. Just roll over.
Immediately just write. Huh?
Yeah, start writing before that disappears, because it will disappear and it's really hard to remember.
That is very interesting. Talking about dreams, I dream a lot about horses that I've had that have passed over, and then all of a sudden they're in my dreams again, and they're I'm doing something with them, and mm-hmm. it happens a lot. That happened to me last night, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I think when that happens, they actually come back like a spirit.
Oh, absolutely. There are dreams where you make connections with people who have passed. There's dreams that you have that are prophetic and they let you know something's coming. Then there are just those crazy little dreams that rifle through those files in our head and pick out all kinds of things. But there definitely are dreams where there's past life dreams too. I've had a past life dream where it's just, you know, when you've had a dream, when it's not a normal dream, when there's more to it, you will know it. I don't really know how to explain it. You'll know it, but you'll know it, and you won't forget this one. It will stick with you, and it will stick with you for a long time.
And speaking of dreams and the dream state and connecting on the superconscious level, I don't know if it's your philosophy, but it is the philosophy of a lot of people who teach tarot or ascribe to the tarot. It's like when you first get your first deck of tarot cards, you put it under your pillow so that you can dream with your cards. Have you ever done that, or do you feel that that's helpful?
No, I haven't. As I said, I view the cards more as a tool. I have a very realistic view. Maybe that's not the right word. The only thing I do with my cards that might be unusual is that I will lay crystals on top of my decks. When I have decks laid out in my shelf, I always have clear quartz crystals laid on top of them. But I've
and
never
why
slept
is that
with
to enhance desk. It or to bring in communication? Yeah, because I know that crystals are receptors.
And they are receptors, and they're energy generators. And yes, just to draw in energy for the cards, which will in turn should draw in energy to me so that I can interpret the cards.
Okay. And what do you feel is some of the, and we talked a little about dreams and so forth, and tell us what you feel are some of the astrological and the color, like the colorology and the numerology that's intertwined in the tarot.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cards are numbered, and as every number is significant, like four is foundations. I had a deck of cards today, and I'm shuffling them, and the four of wands flew out. And I always feel that if a card flies out of the deck, there's a reason for it. And so you set it aside, and I turned it over, and it was the four of wands. Mm-hmm. And the four of wands is number four to me, means solid foundations, setting a structure in place that's going to last. And I don't necessarily mean a material structure, but something figurative. This card was especially attuned to me because I'm engaged, so we're planning a wedding, and it's a celebratory card, and it often comes up in my readings for weddings. And the number four is perfect for that card, because what more important aspect of your life do you need to have those strong foundations for is the relationship you're going to have with your mate for the rest of your life. So the numbers on the tarot cards are important, and I like to go through and be familiar with that and connect with that too. As far as astrology goes, I know there's astrological symbolism for all of the cards, but the ones that hit me most are the court cards, because they are people. And and the people that I know and the archetypes on the cards and the astrological signs associated to them, it gives you a wide range of perception into other people's personalities. And I find this fascinating. And there's always like positive and negative aspects. So when you're reading for someone and a court card comes up, and I'll say, you know, you might know this person on this card, and I'm going to tell you what their personality is like, and you tell me, you know, if this connects with you. And they're always kind of floored at the opposite aspects of it, because I don't know, are we trained to focus on the good side? But you have to look at people, you know, people have a little bit of each in them. We're a little bit black and white and with shades of gray in between. But that's how I view the astrology. That's where it seems to have the most impact for me, is with the court cards.
And what do you feel is the key to the tarot reading? Do you view the suits as a key? Like if when you put down your spreads, what do you view as the key to that reading right away?
The key, the suits do provide a clue to me. Lots of cups will mean that there's emotional issues or relationship issues. Wands or pentacles will be finances or business or money. Swords will be a conflict, a person with a lot of contention and unpleasantness in their life. So the suits do cue you in into what aspects of the person's life you should focus on and where those problems might be.
Now, I know there's a couple different schools of thought, but do you read your cards when they're upside down, or do you read them all upright?
I do read reversals, and usually it will have the opposite meaning or generalization of the upright card. But there's another way that I look at it, because I look at the card visually and just let it tap into my subconscious. Sometimes when those images are upside down, you'll see things that you wouldn't otherwise have seen.
I like that. I like that, because the reason why I brought that up is because in the tarot books, you know, it's always, if they're reversed, it's always bad, you know?
So
people get a preconceived idea that if they see the card reversed, automatically it's bad.
No, it just gives you a different vision of the images, and it's something new that can come to you. It's not bad at all, necessarily. It gives you a different perception, is all that it is.
You touched a little bit about like Wicca and witchcraft and natural magic and paganism and stuff, and a little bit about, I know that a lot of people who are into, you know, are on the pagan path, do read, and tarot is, like, I'm pagan myself, and we consider it to be our Bible, because we consider that those things that are contained within the tarot cards is kind of, you know, a collective symbolism of the ages. Would you agree with that philosophy?
I would agree. It's a symbolism of humanity. That's why the court cards and the personality types, the archetypes. Another thing interesting about the court cards is that they are also like psychological profiles, though, too. And sometimes when you meet a person, there'll be a card that pops into my head. And I always kind of pay attention to what it is, because it's like giving me little cues to their personality. This doesn't always happen, but when it does, I pay attention to it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You're going to pause for 1 minute for a commercial.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
You were just saying, how many decks do you have, Amethyst?
I have over 40 tarot decks. I always say they're like earrings. You can never have too many.
Oh, you can't. And there's so many fascinating ones out there too, huh?
Oh, I know. The artwork and sometimes, like there was one that had the Wizard of Oz and the characters on it. Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. There's one that's geared like to the artwork is 1950s, like 1950s housewife.
And, oh, I want that one.
You want that one? You have to email me and I'll give you the link to it. I'm sure they have it at Amazon.
Have you seen the Halloween deck that's all Halloween characters?
I have a couple of Halloween decks. I have the Witch's Tarot and I have a Halloween deck.
Oh, that's really, those are really cute. Yeah. I love the Egyptian ones. I sort of collect Egyptian ones. I have a lot of them. So.
Yes. Some that are collectible, I keep them in the box and don't use them. And others are like everyday out on the table cards. And then others I have that are used for other purposes if I'm making mojo bags, doing that sort of thing.
What would you recommend if somebody's somebody who knows nothing about the tarot and would like to learn, which deck would you recommend that they get?
I would start with the Universal Rider White, a very basic deck where your court cards are your queen, king, knight, page, and just save the other decks that kind of go outside the box, save that for after your first introduction and just go with a very basic deck. That would be my advice.
So you get all the original, because it depicts all the original symbolism.
Absolutely. And you should become familiar with that before you do some of these real unusual decks and try to use them for readings.
Right.
Here.
Now, the major arcana and the minor arcana. Want to explain that to our audience?
The major arcana are things that are going to happen in your life that you have no control over. It's kind of a big picture. The minor arcana are the little minute details, the things that you have the possibility of changing depending on your decisions. And your future totally relies on your own personal decisions and choices. The cards aren't going to set that for you. They just show you what might be. Everyone's responsible for their own lives and their own choices.
I heard it once said that the major arcana was the law and that the minor was the carrying out of the law. It's probably a very archaic thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of makes sense the way you explain it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the origins of some of the major arcana, do you have any insight into some of the origins of some of those cards?
No, I don't. Only that it said that they were ancient cards from Egypt originally, but then it's also said that they were used in Italy as playing cards at one time until they started to be used for divination.
Those damn Italians, I'm telling you.
I know. Got their fingers and everything, don't they?
Oh, they do. They do.
Can't take your eyes off of them for a minute.
What now? I know. You can't keep your eye. Yeah, you have. You got to watch those Italians. when you're reading for somebody that you completely, like, do you ever do phone readings or it's all in person for
you?
Yes,
I do. No, I do readings over the telephone. I like to do handwritten readings that I email to people. And a lot of people
that
you couldn't connect. But that's the easiest way for me to connect because it's quiet. I'm by myself and it's just an open channel for me with the cards. And you can read for people long distance. You can read for people you don't know. You can read for people that you can't see and you don't even know what they look like. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It's all that universal knowledge and being able to tap into it with your subconscious and using the cards as a trigger. And that's all that it is. And a lot of time, the handwritten readings are the ones that are most point on.
That's interesting that you brought that up, because a lot of times our clients ask us, they're skeptical at some point. You've never met me, or how do you know this stuff from long distance? But they're not understanding just what you said.
They do that. I try to explain to them that it's like a type of automatic writing. And that's what it is. As I'm turning cards and interpreting, I have a pen in one hand and my notebook, and I'm just turning cards and just writing down whatever is popping in. And then I'll put the reading together, you know, and make it readable. But at first, it's just like automatic writing.
And so that's just how, like, words and images and stuff like that, and then you fill it in?
Images and ideas, yes.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So now, has there been anybody else in your family that reads the tarot or does any psychic work, or are you the only one?
No, I am the only one. I have seven children, and
you have seven children?
Yes.
Wow. Good for you.
And they each kind of have their own interests. They each have their own spiritual paths. I have a couple of my girls who are interested in tarot cards and they collect them, but they don't do readings for people. It's, you know, it's a very diverse group that I have.
So. I think that to be a reader and to be a psychic, it's like you're drawn to it and it just never leaves you. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And I think for a lot of us, it starts in childhood with things that we don't understand, things that we see or things that we just know or feel. And we don't understand it till we get older. And by the time we're older, we shut it off because it's not acceptable in our society or our culture. So it's like people who can open back up to it after you've learned what it is and that it's okay and that it's not harmful. It's actually helpful.
So in your book, Tarot for Grownups, what type of information do you believe that you put out there that would make it just for grownups? Is it more mature subjects or is it, tell us a little bit about that.
It is. I used and wrote that book from an adult perspective, dealing with adult issues. I was tired of these books for little kids, you know, or for teenagers to sit down and go through the cards. It's as though it was time for the cards to be used at an adult level. And sometimes the adult world isn't always very pretty, and it can be kind of rough, and it can be kind of hard to look at things in a harsh manner. And that's how I use the cards for that book and with that intention, so adults can connect with it, because our issues are more nitty-gritty sometimes. And I didn't see any books out there that dealt with those, with infidelity and with marriage and with issues with family and with sexual issues. And so that's kind of what I do in this book.
That's interesting. So, for example, like what would be one of your, like give us a peek, what would, like a chapter, is it related to a card or how did you set it up?
I actually looked at the cards as different groups. Like instead of every book starts with like the suits or the minor arcana and everything in order. I didn't want to look at it in order because my life is not in order and most people's aren't.
Really? When's your birthday?
So I took love and relationships and I went through the deck and I pulled out every card that for me has some sort of connection with love and relationships. And then I looked at that card and I wrote down how I really felt about it without trying to whitewash it and without trying to keep myself from, to keep myself from being so that I wouldn't, make someone angry or offend someone. I just wrote down just whatever the hell I wanted that was my interpretation of the card. And I stopped thinking about what other people would think if they read it. So, and that's what I did with different sections of the cards, like for money or for employment, for family relationships. And then actually after the book came out and I read it, I thought, oh my God, you know, I can't believe I said some of that. But,
but that's very interesting approach, because that's really off the cuff. That's almost like you're writing and you're reading at the same time.
That's true. That's true. And I think it's different from any of the other books out there that I've read, because they all seem to follow the same pattern. And I didn't want to follow that pattern, because life is helter-skelter and kind of, you know, it's just
messy.
Not neat and tidy, and it doesn't fit in boxes. And that's how I wanted to look at the cards.
That's interesting. So it was almost a channeling through the tarot in a way.
Yes, it was. It was very cathartic, too, because there's a lot more in there, if you read my interpretations of them, that have to do with my life and what we were going through at that time than what you would probably think. So it was a cool experience, actually, for myself in writing it.
I think that us as psychics and readers, and I think I could speak for all my co-hosts as well, that when we are going through a specific issue in our lives, we tend to draw people to us that are going through the same thing. And so we end up seeing a better perspective of that. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We draw to us. I always believe that people come into our lives in different times. And different phases, because we're meant to be with them for a particular reason, to learn from them or to grow with them. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons that people come together. And yes. Yeah, there are. So, it makes an impact.
I have a lot of comments on the chat with my co-hosts about your birds. Do you have birds? I can hear them in the background.
I'm sitting outside on my back porch, actually.
How nice is that?
Apple trees, maple trees, and yeah. So you can hear the birds.
I know. I think it's very refreshing. It's awesome. It's a nice, especially since we're talking about the tarot, which is life itself, you know.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And so do you plan another book on the tarot, or is this it for your tarot books?
Well, no, I'd never say never. I learned that. I am working on a fifth book. It actually has to do with feminine spirituality. And so I want to try to get that book done by the beginning of next year if I can. And my life is kind of like my life is kind of crazy right now, so it's very hard for me to concentrate on writing, because I'm going to be getting married at some point.
Yay! Well, congratulations.
You're welcome. And so my focus is, it's very hard to focus at all right now, actually. My main focus is the man in my life right now. Isn't that?
Well, I like to hear that, because it's important for us to have our soulmates, and they come to us at different times in our lives. And it feels to me, I'm just picking it out of the universe, that he probably is your soulmate, or at least one of them.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Totally different for it to be at my age and to be to be in a relationship at this stage of life, and to meet someone that you feel so connected with. There's like, it's a connection you can't explain. I've never experienced this with anyone else.
Well, everybody's timing is different, right?
Everybody's timing.
You had mentioned, I know that the audience and the people who are listening, they're going to look up your information. And you had mentioned that you were entering into your crone stage, and I can relate, because so am I. And that's a wisdom stage for women, correct?
Yes, it is. I'm 55.
Very special.
So it is. I love this stage of life, actually, because you can kind of, like, you're standing on a mountain in a midway point, and you can look back and you can look forward. And I think this is the perfect time to connect with someone that is your soulmate, someone that you can you can kind of hold hands with them at this stage of life and move forward into the last phase. And I believe that I'm meant to be with this person in the last phase of my life. So it's kind of like a milestone. And this phase of life for women is so cool. It's like we come into our own. Women bloom after menopause. No woman should ever be afraid of reaching this stage of life, because this is like, this is what you've worked for your whole life to get to this point. And it just keeps getting better and better.
So no more whining over hot flashes, right?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm going to have to remember that, because I'm almost there myself.
Life is good.
Yeah. So we talked about using the tarot in everyday life and, you know, some of the lessons that the tarot have for us. And, you know, if you were to, like, pick a tarot card that was kind of a good tarot, you know, like, you wanted to, you know, one of your favorite, let's pick a major arcana. Let's talk a little bit about the major arcana a little bit. What are some of the cards there? Let's pick a few here. Like, what, the Sun card? That's probably the most powerful one in the deck, do you think, as far as positive energy?
Like positive energy. It's happy, happy, happy. It negates anything negative in a reading. It's kind of a joyful card that lets you see you can make it through the storm. It's like the light at the end of the tunnel. It's kind of that kind of card, and you can't ignore it. It's kind of like a spaniel dog that just comes out and it just leaps all over you. And so it's a little strong for some people, actually. They can't take all that glowy happiness. You have to tone it down for them, but that's how that card strikes me.
And then the most controversial of all the cards is the Death card. People always get freaked out when they see the Death card in their spread. Can you kind of explain the Death card?
I have seen death in readings, but it's been through a combination of cards, not a single card. And most of the time, the Death card has nothing to do with death. It has to do with amazing, huge transitions in your life, huge transitional changes that'll just come up and smack you in the face. You can't ignore them. It's like milestones. It's like this person is going to reach a milestone, and there's just going to be a 180 degree shift in their life. And that's what that card generally means when it comes up in my readings. But I have gotten that card in conjunction with the Ten of Swords and the Tower. And usually when those three cards come up, it points to a death.
A physical death.
I've never a physical death, but I have never pointed that out to anyone. I think in my book, I relate an incident that I had with a friend that I read for, and those cards came up, and she was a reader too, and she knew, and we looked at each other, and we knew, and we said a name together. And about 5 months later, a very young member of her family was killed in a car train accident, and it was the person whose name we had said together. So, you know, death shows up in tarot cards, but very, very seldom. And it's not something that I want to divulge to people.
Right. You have to counsel people in a certain way, which then they can be prepared. Mm-hmm. Now, what about the Lover's card? Now, there's misconceptions about the Lover's card.
Oh, God, I love that card. It's like, did you read in the book how I described that card? Because I don't think I can say it.
Is it a bleep bleep?
It's a bleep bleep. Uh-huh. It's a like.
Okay, well, try it. Let's hit. Let's give us the G-rated version.
Oh, I just call it the I can't keep my hands off you. F me again card. It's like that crazy intense energy in new relationships when you can't touch enough and you can't kiss enough and you can't have enough sex. You could just, if you could devour that person, you would devour them. It's that kind of crazy hot energy that comes through.
But not necessarily love, though. More lust, right?
It's lust. It's good old-fashioned rolling in the hay sex. Yes.
On that note, Amethyst, I would love to be able to talk to you for longer, like hours. I'm sure we could converse, but we're at the end of our interview right now. I really want to thank you. I mean, I have a lot of respect for your knowledge.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. This has been fun, and I've enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, so you know what? I wanna wish you a good night, and blessed be.
And blessed be to you, Brenda.
Okay, for more information or to make contact with Amethyst Rain, and that's Amythyst Rain, Raine, visit her website at www.ladyamethyst.webs.com or www.thewitchescorner.com. You can also find her contact information on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, not now, but later. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you're unable to catch last week's show on psychic sexology, you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives on all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share the link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, the how-tos of psychic development, and just about anything under the sun. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. And each one of the psychics has been has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and choose them from the list of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It's also an honor to work with Doug at Psychic Access because of his high expectations, and he only chooses the best. All of our co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit us at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And the call-in number, I'm going to give it to you now, but this is for later, after our banter, is 724-444-4851. Okay, you guys, what did you think about the interview?
Well, I want to say I'm echoing again, but that's okay. You closed on a funny note.
I did that on purpose.
I know you did. I thought it was fantastic, Brenda. That was a really good interview. In fact, I loved everything she was talking about, and also talking about how, or you might have been talking about this too, on personal experiences or how you are in a certain place in your life, how I could identify with that. That's how I got into doing what I'm doing. And also the court card, she was talking about certain personalities. And again, that's how I, you know, well, one led to the other. But that's how I started looking at somebody in the energy, positive and negative, on the court cards. In fact, I used to do workshops just on I called it some real cool name, I forgot. But on how they all reminded me of somebody.
Interesting.
But you know how you would look at it and just reflect on who it reminded the person. And that's how I've been reading them since, you know, or sometimes. But I was telling people in the chat room, I said, I close my eyes and read. You know, not literally, but sometimes.
Well, you could.
Yeah, I think it's the best way.
Cards know you. I mean, you're so familiarized with the cards.
Yeah.
I bet all of us.
Can you hear? Am I echoing?
Yeah, I know. I hear. I can hear the feedback.
There's like a feedback.
See, it's us. We just want to hear us over and over.
We just want to hear ourselves talk, right? Steve, what did you think about the interview and those?
I enjoyed it. I thought she was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed what she had to say about tarot. As I said at the beginning of the show, I've been studying tarot quite a lot the last couple of weeks. I've been, as you guys know, I've been working really hard on astrology for a couple of years, and I'm really enjoying using tarot more and understanding it in its depth. I don't use the reversals. I was asking Maureen and Stephen in the chat room if they do. I use the Brotherhood of Light deck, and in that deck we only use reversals for two of the major arcanum.
What about you, Maureen? Do you use reversals? I don't.
It depends. Sometimes I'm, like I said, it just depends. If I feel like, you know, the way I look at it is a lot of the reversals aren't so bad. And if I feel that they should be read a certain way, I do. It has nothing to do with maybe some of the cards. I just, you know, like I don't have a rule for everybody or a rule for every reading I do. So. Hmm.
What about you, Stephen?
I absolutely use reversals. I use the same deck as Steve does, and in that system, it's possible to use the reversals in an astrological way to sort of use the planet to look at the planetary energies involved and represented by the card, to look at them in harsh aspect to one another, and that actually it adds an extra level of refinement and precision to the reading. Usually, once you do that, the querent at that point is sort of nodding or his or her head and saying, yep, 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 you know. So I definitely tend to use the reversals. However, if it seems to clear or fog up the picture, then I've learned it's best not to even bother. First and foremost, I go for the main narrative line, the main narrative thread represented by the cards. And like you guys were saying, that definitely is a sort of a closing of the eyes and reacting on the instinct that usually just sort of, when you're lucky, leaps out at you. And the reversals, if they back that up and clarify it, then I use them. And if they don't, then the ultimate meaning is always represented by the basic symbolism of the cards.
That's interesting. I think that there's a lot of room in with the tarot cards, at least I've found, to kind of use them the way you feel. You know, I personally just forever and ever and. I don't use the reversals because my feeling is they speak to me the way they're going to anyhow. But I did like what she said about, you know, being able to sometimes if they're reversed, you actually see something different. And I might try that with certain decks. I use a Crowley deck. That's my exclusive deck that I've used for 20 years or more.
That's a great deck. That is a great deck.
From the 70s.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about the reversals. So, can you give us an example of a card and how you interpret the reversal?
Sure, I'd be happy to. For example, in the system that we use, the Brotherhood of Light system, the Ace of Swords. Now, the swords are actually the earthy element in our system. There are a couple of so the Ace of Swords is represented by earthy, planetary, and zodiacal source of energies. So if it shows up reversed, then I would consider Saturn in harsh aspect to other planetary energies represented by other cards. For example, let's say that a card that represents Venus, for example, the Six of Cups, perhaps, or the Six of Wands, or the Lovers. Let's say that one of those cards pops up in conjunction right side up, then we could perhaps posit a harsh aspect between Venus and Saturn, and that opens up other interpretations that you can use.
Oh, I see. So you would interpret it reversed as Saturn?
Right. Either way, I would interpret it as a Saturnian energy. Right side up, I would consider perhaps Venus is trine or in a trine aspect, harmonious relationship and blending with
Saturn. I see what you mean. So you're using the reversals to consider that you're interpreting a reversal as a harsh aspect to another card and an upright as a positive or harmonious aspect. Now, that's a really good idea. I'm going to explore that.
But that's the original. That's the, you know, not to interrupt, but that's the purpose of the reversals anyhow.
So the reversals
are the negatory
harsh aspects.
Yeah, the harsh aspect.
Oh, okay. Well, that's,
you know, like there's a positive and negative in everything.
Yeah, but I feel it's clever. It's easy to work with, isn't it? Because as long as you understand the energy of the card, and you can understand whether it's a more, so for example, Saturn or the Ace of Swords upright, or Saturn upright in harmonious aspect to the Venus might indicate that the relationship is a well-structured, well-organized relationship, and that possibly there's a good material, a good level of material comfort and ease in the relationship, or some kind of business or business involvement. And then if it was reversed, you would interpret it in an overly materialistic or more extreme Saturnine influence upon the relationship.
You got it. You got the hang of it. That's exactly.
I love it. That is now easy then.
Now, applied, for example, in the dimension of the work life, you know, then we could have a situation where, you know, a Saturn reversed Saturn and harsh aspect, opposition or square, we could have a dysfunction of the analysis, you see, a faulty analysis. But in harmonious relationship, we can say to the querent, okay, well, you know, you can trust your instincts, your ability to analyze this situation, your analysis, powers of analysis will be enhanced and buttressed by the Saturn energy, you know. So it's really an elegant and refined way of doing things. But I'm inclined to agree with Brenda in the sense that the tarot has a way of getting its message across without reversing cards. So
yes, but the traditional use of the reversals is to, it's the mirror of the upright, you know. Every negative has a positive. You know what I mean? So whatever the symbolism is of the card itself, and if it's reversed, that's the negative aspect of it.
And
or
it gets
the contradictory aspect of it. It's the conflicting.
It gets even trickier, too, because the reverse card might simply indicate an inhibition of the energy of the card. It could simply be saying that the energy of the card is not fully expressed in the querent's life. There's a blockage.
Well, some reversals are more positive, really, or the interpretations.
You're right.
And there are some that are positive. Like if you take a card that's basically, you could take a more negative. Like what is she talking about? The swords, the nine of swords, or something like that. A negative. There are negative cards in the deck. I mean, you can't candy coat it. There are negative cards, and those in reversal would be more positive. They would be diluted.
Yeah, diluted is a great way of saying it. The lessons have already been had in some of the negative aspects.
Exactly, I like that. They're diffused.
Mm-hmm. You might want to have the tower reverse, for instance.
I don't know. Yeah, that's chaos.
I love.
Good. I like
the tower. I love the tower. And I know it's
the tower card is one of those scary things that people see on TV. Oh my god! You know what I mean? Oh my god! It's the death card. Oh my god! It's the tower.
So do you? Can I ask you guys then, just to get your view then on the tower card? So you would interpret it as a Martian aspect, some kind of force or drive for change, and then if it was reversed, you would consider that to be a hard aspect, and therefore the more catastrophic interpretation of Mars.
Either that, if it was reversed, either that or a harmful blockage of Martian energy that could also lead to all sorts of problems in and of its own right. A lot of people have a hard time expressing the Mars energy. They either overdo it and alienate people in their lives, or they underdo it and get trodden upon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so, you know,
at this point, look at that.
At this point, it all depends on the feedback I'm getting from the
languages. What language are you talking, Steve?
Oh, you have to look at the other cards that are around too. But you know, the tower is breaks down anything else. What's happening in your life is being broken down, and new foundations will be eventually built. It's very true of a Martian nature. I mean, they create and destroy. I see it as a building of new foundations, but you got to break down the old first, right?
Right. Its inclusion in the Major Arcana verifies the fact that it's a necessary rite of passage that we all go through. It's a necessary energy.
I think it's a mix it up. You got to mix it up. Get out of your old habits.
Absolutely.
Have to be catastrophic.
Now, interestingly enough, I've often seen it in spreads that describe a relationship that is not in the best interest of the querent. Interestingly enough, so that's often
You mean something happening in the background, right?
Right, or it can designate those relationships that tend to be projects for the querent. Consummation is never achieved. You know, it's dragged out, and the person tends to be a project for the querent. You know, that's not in anybody's best interest to pursue. But, you know, it's natural for us to fall into that. The tower's definitely, and it's attributed to Mars also in the Thoth deck, in Aleister Crowley's brilliant and extremely powerful deck.
I think he's the most fascinating man, demented but fascinating.
And misunderstood.
He hung out with all the spiritualists of those days. I mean, he was really intense.
Yeah, and he's an incredible academician.
He's like the Timothy Leary.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was into everything. I mean, he
makes Timothy Leary look mentally disenfranchised, if you ask me.
Guys, though, I remember when I was a kid looking at some of the Aleister Crowley books and getting a very negative vibe from them. And I've looked at some of Aleister Crowley's stuff recently, and I just don't feel drawn to it. It feels quite dark to me.
I never liked him. In fact, I gave my deck away to somebody. But that's just me.
It just feels quite dark.
It just depends, you know. For me, I mean, I believe he was fascinating. If you want to bring up the fact that maybe he tried to walk into the dark side, he did.
Yeah.
Wait,
absolutely.
Yes.
He went into necromancy and everything.
If you want a guy who is not only conversant, but extraordinarily well-versed in just about every major philosophical system, Aleister Crowley's a guy. He knows it all about everything, about Hinduism, about every branch and sub-branch.
Well, he was an occultist, that's for sure.
He was.
I feel uncomfortable with the negative applications.
Well, a lot of that is cultural. A lot of that is cultural. It's been popular to smear him and, you know, with Ozzy Osbourne's, you know, Mr. Crowley and all of that.
I love Ozzy Osbourne.
I do too. He's something else. I'm really happy to hear him and Sharon are getting back together.
Me too. Isn't that great?
Yes, I didn't know they'd separated.
Yeah.
When did they separate?
She'd had enough of his crap.
Oh, he fell off the wagon and she got
again.
And now they're back together 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later.
Those two belong, you know, it's not together. But, you know, Aleister Crowley, he wasn't the boss of me the way I looked at it.
it's interesting what he did.
They called him the Beast. Because he was fascinated with the Beast.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, He called himself that turkey. He interestingly enough, what he did for occult science, that the Rider-Waite deck comes prepackaged with some intentional some intentional lies, intentional deceptions, some attributions that have been misstated as a way to preserve. In other words, the people revealing the Rider-Waite philosophies, they had to maintain certain vows, you see. So they couldn't reveal everything that they knew.
He's talking about the secrets.
Yeah.
Aleister Crowley, I guess he probably should be disliked for this, but he outed all of that information in his Thoth deck. His Thoth deck represents an improvement and a truth-telling that the Rider-Waite deck doesn't.
Oh, I just love the deck. That's my favorite deck.
I probably have
over 10 of them.
Yeah. You know, whenever I read that deck, I always got short-circuited out. That's what was happening with me. So that's why I gave them away.
It's not for everybody.
No, it's not. And that was okay. But he certainly, I mean, I certainly have an opinion of him. Oh, look, there's a call for you, Stephen. That's my opinion.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're done with our chit-chat because now, Stephen, you've got a caller from Wisconsin, baby.
All right. Hello, Wisconsin. How may I help you?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Who am I speaking with?
My name is Duena. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
Yes, I was just wondering if I'm kind of, I feel like I'm at a standstill, and I was just wondering if you could tell me, like, what direction in life I should go for, like, the next 2 weeks, what you see, like, for the next 2 weeks for me.
Sure. Let's phrase the question this way. What does she absolutely need to know the most about the next 2 weeks? Keep this question simple
and powerful. I just
want
to know what decisions and stuff are some important decisions that I need to make just about my personal life for the next 2 weeks. Not really financially or anything like that. Just I have a few issues in my life that I really need to make some decisions about. And like which way to go and what to do. So I was just wondering if you could tell me if you see like the best decision for me.
Absolutely. I'll be more than happy to help you with that. Let me shuffle and cut the cards here, and we will have our answer shortly. Okay. 1, 2. The next 2 weeks, personal decisions, personal life. Over the next 2 weeks. We have 2 tens, actually, and the number 10, referring as it does to the planet Uranus, tells me that over the next 2 weeks you can expect basically a lot of sudden and unexpected changes, especially in the emotional life. The Ten of Cups is actually upside down, so it perhaps won't be as strong as it could be, but Uranus is a weird planet, okay? So in your personal life, especially in your romantic life, you might be attracted to or have a really good prospect for happiness with someone who is radically different from you, someone who might be of a different religion or could be even of a different cultural background in the next 2 weeks. So if you are single, definitely be on the lookout for people like that. And if you're not, then the Ten of Cups represents unconventional emotional interests, which could actually be quite interesting. Mainly, it's going to represent a flipping. So over the next 2 weeks, whatever your emotional situation is now, it's going to be challenged. It's going to be changing. Also, and I know you didn't ask about your work life, but it seems like unavoidably the Ten of Swords is also showing up here, and that could refer to a difficulty at work that might make other aspects of your personal life a little bit harder to deal with. Do you see? So, you know, watch out for scandalous sorts of situations over the next 2 weeks. Definitely don't get involved with anybody who has less than honorable plans. I see here a young man, the Jack of Cups, refers to a young dreamer sort of a guy, a male definitely, and exuding or typifying the Pisces energy. So someone who's very creative and perhaps not even altogether honest. And again, the card could actually refer to yourself being your own worst enemy, to tell you the truth. So it looks like you're going to have to be prepared to adapt to a changing environment over the next 2 weeks.
Okay. I do have a question. It's funny that you mentioned the number 10.
Yes.
Have dimes that have been just showing up in weird places for like probably the last year. I will move things and there'll be a dime that will be found here and a dime that will be found there. And it'll just be like anywhere in my house, outside. It's really weird. And I don't know if that signifies anything. It was kind of weird. It just kind of was brought to my attention when we were talking about 10.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't realize that the universe is very big, but it speaks in a tiny voice, do you see? So absolutely, the cosmos they speak to us in very subtle and very small ways.
Okay.
And this
change. And so what would that kind of mean, those signs that I keep finding?
Again, just sort of a an italics from the universe, just as an emphasis. They're not so much prophetic, but just like a road sign, an announcement. This is what's coming your way. You know, this is what you should prepare for. You know, this is where your life is at right now. The circularity of the number 10. So, you know, things are going to be changing up for you over the next couple of weeks. Whatever you're used to now, that's going to be challenged. You know, so you're just going to have to keep trying. And again, the challenge for you is going to be to learn how to adapt to your environment over the next couple of weeks. You're going to have to adapt so much as opposed to trying to change the environment. You're going to have to learn to adapt to it, not vice versa.
So it's not something that's going to be under my control, something that's going to be happening that I have to adapt to the situation.
Right. That's how you're going to control it, through your reactions. That's the way to control it. You know, you can't really help what happens to you, so to speak. I mean, you can, but that's beyond the scope of this phone call. I mean, you know, it's really hard to control what happens to you, but the best thing you can do is control your reaction to it. So that's how you're going to, you know, operate over the next couple of weeks. That's going to be the challenge for you over the next 2 weeks. So.
And it's kind of funny that you had mentioned about a person, like, in my love life and stuff like that, about somebody being, like, the opposite of me, which I actually recently just met somebody who's actually, like, the opposite of me. But we have, like, very good conversations and stuff. So it was kind of weird. And then there was a guy that I was dating who's kind of, like, in a young aspect. Like, his mentality is very young. And
that would probably be the Jack of Cups that I mentioned. And again, ma'am, I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that last part.
What I was saying is that there was a guy that I was dating that is, in his mentality wise, very young. He's not quite caught up with his age, if that makes sense to you.
Well, it does. That represent, because the youth of cups, the Jack of Cups, represents a youthful energy. Do you see an immature or a juvenile type of energy, even though the person himself might be completely physically mature? And again, this particular card represents a personality that is like that of a Pisces. I'm not really saying he is a Pisces, but you know, this person, especially over the next 2 weeks, is going to be acting like a Pisces.
Stephen, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but maybe I do. But we do have some more callers that are waiting.
Yes. I'm on a roll. Sorry.
And that's okay. But you know what, ma'am? If you'd like to talk further on this, you can reach us online for psychicaccess.com. We'd be happy to finish the reading for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. That was nice talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
You as well. Bye.
Thank you, Stephen.
I got carried away, didn't I?
That's okay, honey.
I was in the zone.
That's all right. Okay, I've got a call from New York. Hi, New York.
Hi. Yeah. I was just wondering, I don't have any kind of psychic skills or intuition or anything, and my grandmother, who's been passed away for, like, you know, 15, 20 years, came through like a couple of weeks ago when I was in a sort of half-asleep state. And I've been trying to get her to do the same thing, and I believe I've been in the same half-asleep state because I can't meditate. My brain won't shut up, so it's the only way I can talk to her. And she hasn't come through, and I'm wondering why.
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing is that she definitely wants to communicate with you. And if you start to feel anxious that you can't, you know, reach her, or she's not coming through, and oh my gosh, why is she not? Why can't I? You've got to let that go, because that's almost like anxiety and fear that might push that delicate communication away. My feeling on this is in the next couple of weeks, you are going to have another visitation from her. I feel that it's probably good if you had, like right next to your bed, a pen and paper so that you can write down what it is that she says to you. I'm going to also see that you'll have an opportunity to find out what it is that she wants to talk to you about. I'm seeing that she wants to say something to you, something significant, like a closing of a circle. There's an answer that you're going to get from her that you've been wondering about. When did she pass over?
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, she obviously has something that she wants to talk to you about, and it's going to be something that you need to hear for your own life. So, okay. You know, that is very real. This is not just a dream. It just feels like I can see her outside of your consciousness wanting to speak to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, honey.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Steve, you have a caller from Texas.
Thank you. Who's calling from Texas?
Hi, Steve. I'm Miriam. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, Miriam. How are you doing?
Good. I have a quick question. A relationship I was in last year ended back in November. And since then, it had been off and on, not necessarily reestablishing the relationship, but about every month he would contact me again. So far, often. And back in March, it began getting back on track. Then again, he flaked out. You know, he comes in, he comes out, he comes in, he comes out. I haven't heard from him in a month. I don't know what his intentions are. I don't know if there is potential for this relationship or should I finally give up on it.
Okay. When I tune into the separation, I feel that when you were originally separated, that is what he wanted. He did say that it was best for you to separate. So it wasn't an easy decision for him, but he did feel that the right thing to do was for the two of you to go your own way, or your own ways. But I know that he did love you at that time. I don't feel a terrible relationship ending in which, you know, two people have grown to really dislike each other and that's it. I feel that there was a sad separation in the sense that it wasn't an angry separation. There was still love, there was still affection. And I feel also that in seeing you again, in rekindling things, he was being genuine. I don't feel that he was being disingenuous or manipulative. I feel that he's somebody that has deep feelings, and he felt that maybe that was the right thing to do. But I have to say to you, when I look out into the future and ask my guides, I feel that if the two of you were together, it would be challenging. And it's really one of those situations in which you've got two people that do care for each other, that do have a connection. There is love, but there isn't enough strength and compatibility in the dynamic for the two of you to be happy for life or for a lifetime together. I know that at the moment he's distracted by financial issues. I feel quite strongly that he's got some concerns about finances and his ability to provide for himself. But I don't feel that that's why he's at a distance. I feel that he realizes, as you do, that really the dynamic wouldn't change. It wouldn't necessarily be wonderful the next time round. And so I feel that he sadly has realized that even though he loves you, the relationship doesn't make you happy.
Right.
So I honestly feel that in time, the two of you can certainly be friends. And I do feel that when we've come out of a relationship, it's difficult to be friends because we still have feelings and we don't want to necessarily know what's going on in each other's private lives because it can feel upsetting. But I feel that in a couple of years, the two of you will be friends. And I feel that you'll have a good connection as friends because you care for each other. But I don't feel it's the right long-term relationship. I do feel for you there's a wonderful relationship. I'm very drawn to the month of October in the future. That doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship begins in October, but I'm certain from what my guides show me that you will celebrate the month of October in future. And I feel that that celebration is actually about either conception or the birth of a child. And I do see you having a wonderful relationship, but I feel that you need to stay clear what it is you are looking for a relationship. And I wouldn't look back on that relationship and hold yourself away from wonderful new opportunities that will come your way.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. You know, I'm just afraid that he'll come back into my, or he'll look for me again, and I will fall again. And you know, I need to be strong to close the chapter. I'm just afraid that he'll look for me again in a couple of weeks, and there I go again. You know.
I understand. I feel like you've got to be strong, and you will hear from him again, because you see, he does have feelings for you. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that you would have a wonderful lifelong relationship.
Right.
So you're going to have to be strong. And you need to move forward, because there is a great relationship out there for you, but you need to socialize more. I feel as though you've stayed out of circulation a bit, partly because you're looking back.
Right.
But you need to, it's almost summer, it's late spring, enjoy life, move forward. Be okay with the situation between you and him, in the sense that you will be in contact in future, you will be friends, but you also need to look back at the relationship and be clear what you learned from it and what you would choose differently in future, so that you don't repeat any of that. But I guess I can comfort you by saying I know that he cares for you. He's not being manipulative. He does have feelings for you. But the downside here is that it's not really the right relationship for you in the long term, and you know that.
Right,
but you're
that,
a very
yeah.
sensitive girl, so you have feelings and you think of him. It's okay to move on in life and still love someone. It's okay to say, you know, I can't be with you. It's okay for me to say, I can't be with this person, but I don't have to stop loving them. I can love them from a distance. I can love them someday as a friend. And I can fall in love with someone else. You don't have to just love one person. So don't feel that it's black and white, that if you move forward, you meet someone else, that's it, you're closing your door on your love to him, because you can still love him even if you're not in contact with him. And if you are in contact with him, you can love him and care for him as a friend. But I do feel that you need to move forward. I don't feel that you should be holding on, looking at the past. Don't be stuck.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. I needed that.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I guess I have a reading from Wisconsin. Right? Yeah. Okay, well, hello. This is Maureen, Wisconsin. Excuse me.
Hello?
Hi, this is Maureen. What's your name?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. How can I help you?
I was just calling because I was wondering about my relationship and, my love life. I was trying to figure out I don't know if I really got to get into specifics, but I'm kind of with somebody, but I still have feelings for somebody else, and I really just don't know what to do with the situation.
Okay.
Just kind of figuring, like, wondering what I should do, basically.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm getting. I think that you're really seeing things a lot more realistically, emotionally speaking, than you have before. And I do see, have you been with this newer person? It looks like... it's quite new to me. I don't know. It's like within the next, I mean, you've like or you're with somebody within the past couple of months. This doesn't seem like a very long. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I do see that I see it pulling. I see you pulling away from that. And the timing isn't good to be in a new relationship right now. I think you already know this because you came right out and asked very clearly about I see the individual in your past or the relationship. And I also feel that you're heading towards a situation where it's been a hard 10 years for you. You know, it's almost like you need to go through some intense. Oh, it's like I see a transformation of going through almost like a not a physical death, but a death of your old self. And the relationship from the past, was that person available or were they with somebody else?
What Jennifer? Do you mean, were they available?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
What do you mean, were they available?
You said you've been thinking about somebody else, even though you've been with somebody in the couple months you have. Someone from your past, were they... Were they finishing up a long-term relationship, like completing something else with somebody else is what I'm asking. Were they available? They weren't married or anything like that, right? Is what I'm trying to get at.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, like I said, I do feel that there's unfinished business, but there's also stuff that I feel that you need to go through individually, like almost like to be alone and get through some stuff. And I feel that it's not so much about the person. It's like your whole life right now, or the life you've been feeling, it feels like you're self-imprisoned and that you don't feel liberated and you just can't fuse well together with anybody. I feel as far as the person in your past may have some trigger in this that you're thinking about, but I feel right now, I don't see soon that you by choice will be detaching. It's already happening, detaching from who you've been with for the past couple months. The timing to be in a relationship for you right now is not really the best timing. And I feel that because you need to go through some stuff that's kind of uncomfortable is what I'm calling lessons in some sort. And I do feel that there's so much like commotion around. I mean, there's so much changes and commotion from other people, outside influences. But I do feel that this is what you're going through is called useful sacrifice. Now, if you two and the past person you're talking about, I don't feel you've completed what you're supposed to, whatever that is. I'm not clear on what that is, whether you should be together, but there's incompletion surrounding you two. So I do feel that anybody else that you might try to reconnect with right now, regardless of the one presently for 2 months or a few months, it's just you're not going to click. It's not going to keep going on. But like I said, I feel that you're actually on top of things. You know everything I'm saying, I feel that you know anyway, because you're not seeing the forest for the trees. You're being very clear about your emotional state of mind. The person from the past, it just looks like there was – were you with that person for a long, long time?
Yeah, for about 3.5 years.
Okay. Well, you know, I do feel that there's unfinished business, but I don't feel that you're going to go straight to it. I'm not telling you what to do or whatever. I'm just encouraging you to let go of what's going on presently with somebody you're with. It just feels like it would be doing yourself a great justice, because I feel that you need to go through some pain of not just this past relationship, but going through some stuff on your own, which is difficult. A lot of times we don't want to. That's why we go for someone else immediately after a 3-year relationship, went astray. Your 3-year relationship, I could see, was really wonderful, but it's just almost like you kind of is sad. I feel a sense of sadness. It kind of drifted away and left them incomplete. So I am seeing that you are – I guess I'm confirming what you already know, but I do feel that it's going to be a good few months of you being almost like on your own without either, this new one or the other one. But I feel that it's going to be quite beneficial for you to go back into yourself and get into what makes you happy. I see your sleep will get better, but I also feel that things aren't what they appear to be. I think that you will come back around to the other person that you were saying from the past, but not quite yet. It's going to be a good 3 months. I see you kind of like into your own stuff. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. And it won't be the most wonderful. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'd sign up for it, but you'll get by and it'll be much better. And I feel you'll come full circle around and be able to then reconnect with the person from your past. Okay. I hope I helped you, Jennifer. And you take care.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question, or a quick one?
Well, I can only take one. Sorry. Or... I'm only able to take one per person because we have so many other callers.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen.
Sure.
Stephen, you have a caller from Florida.
Hello. How are you in Florida? What's your name?
I'm great. This is Cookie.
Hi, Cookie. How may I help you this evening?
I would have a question about angels and guides. I want to know if you can tell whether I have any guides and what their names are, because when I call on them, I never feel anything. And when I call on or pray to or talk to angels, I feel that presence, but I don't feel anything or get any answers from guides. So I was wondering if I have
right.
any and if the word
yes.
their name.
Yes, yeah, well, you definitely have one. Unfortunately, accessing your guide is going to be a process that, A, is custom made for you yourself. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what will bring person A to his or her guide is not the same thing that will bring person B to his or her guide, you see. So the thing to focus on will be what you can do to actually establish contact with your personal guide. So let's see what you can do here to facilitate that. Yes. Now, it's by the nature of this, is by definition, it's sort of kind of a hard thing to do. Some people go their entire lives without coming into contact with the higher spiritual force designed to help them. But we're all born with one. In fact, our guide is sort of like a template that we are sort of, our energy is based off of. It's sort of an archetype that we choose before we're born. So here we are on cut 2. 1 second, almost there. I'm shuffling and cutting the cards here to get more information about your own personal spirit guide and how best to contact the spirit guide. Okay. This is what it's about. This is 1 second. Okay. Self-sacrifice, Major Arcanum card number 12. Probably the best way to, one of the best ways of contacting your personal spirit guide is to cut out overindulgences of food and drink. So I'm talking about fasting here. I'm talking about abstaining from intoxicants here. No drinking, no drugs of any sort. If you can avoid caffeine even, that would be wonderful. The idea is to purify your body so that it's appropriate to receive spiritual energy, right? Now, what's not important? The Nine of Swords. This card comes up unfailingly in situations where there are arguments and hatred as a result of arguments. So here the tarot is telling you the quickest, fastest way to contact your personal spirit guide is to avoid any kind of conflict and arguments with other people, to give other people the benefit of the doubt, and essentially to work on humility, being more humble. So the thing to avoid is confrontation and conflicts with others. Now, the best way to actually make contact with your own personal spirit guide is to adopt the personality of a Taurus, believe it or not. We have a court card here representing that, representing what you should actually do to achieve your goal. And so the tarot is essentially asking you to act, to behave like a Taurus, to be persistent. In other words, don't even embark on this path if you're going to be wishy-washy, if you're going to waffle. You can't expect overnight results. You've got to have the endurance and the tenacity of Taurus the bull. It's going to be, you have to be prepared for a slow progress, and you have to work at it reliably and with patience, you see. And again, Taurus is associated with luxury and beauty, so surrounding your things with beautiful, luxurious objects that make you happy, objects of meditation, for example, will definitely help you out. And also, there's a material aspect to the card. A lot of people make the trap of thinking that in order to refine themselves spiritually, they have to turn their back on the material in this life. That is not the case at all. This card is telling you that in order to achieve the heights of spirituality, you have to be well-fed, you have to be well-clothed, and you have to be materially comfortable. The result of all of this will be Arcanum card number 3. The number 3 represents taking action. So if you can do this, these things, if you can embody a martyrdom attitude where you're sacrificing yourself for the benefit of others, where you're avoiding intoxicants and drugs, alcohol, caffeine, and things like that, purifying your body, where you're avoiding conflicts, petty battles, small wars with family, loved ones, strangers, road rage, etc., all of those flares of temper, avoiding that and focusing on a comfortable life where you persistently meditate upon your spirit guide reliably every day, you'll attain your goal. Now, do you have any questions on anything I've said to you so far?
Nope. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. You'll get where you want to go. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Cookie. You as well. Bye.
Thank you, Stephen. That was great.
My pleasure.
Okay, I have a call from Pennsylvania. Hi, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Who am I speaking to?
This is Penny.
Hi, Penny. What can I do for you this evening?
I was wondering if you could tell me how my divorce is looking.
Okay.
It's a 5-year divorce. It's pretty much in the hands of the master and the attorneys now, I think.
Okay.
I don't know how much more I can do, or if I've done, have I uncovered everything? Have I done everything that I'm supposed to do?
Okay, let's take a peek. Let's take a peek. Well, you don't feel like that. You feel like there's information that's going to creep up on you and stab you in the back. And I see that it revolves around money.
What was that?
And if your question to me is there hidden monies, is there something extra, there's things that are being held back, yes, there are. But if you were to continue going after all this, then it would just prolong the whole agony of this whole situation. What I see is that you're going to get what you need. You are. And it would be to your benefit to just, you know, move forward with what you have right now, because there has been definitely a lot of hurt and a lot of, you know, negative intent from your ex. And you know that. But I feel that once you put this behind you, your life personally is going to open up in so many great ways. You've been held back by this. And so even if there is still some deception going on and there is still some money that's being held back, that amount of money as compared to what you need to move forward is really insignificant. Plus, you know, I see new love around you. Have you met somebody new?
Right now, yes.
Well, it feels like that's like the icing on the cake. I mean, you're going to be able to get out of this. What this is looking at right now is, it's in the hands of the attorneys, and really they're the ones that are going to make the deals and probably make a lot of money off it anyhow. But you're going to be free, and you're going to realize love again and a heart's desire. You won't be held back anymore. If you're looking at timing, what I'm seeing is that by the month of October, this is pretty much done. Maybe even before that.
Oh, I hope so. Like I said, it's been 5 years, and when I testified, did I get my point across that he's hiding money, and he's dealing all in cash, mm-hmm. and we discovered bits and pieces, and he's not doing what he's told to do.
And he won't. And I feel that it could continue on over like this forever and ever and ever.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry, we had a little bit of a blurb. He is hiding money, and there is monies there, but there's no real proof of it that can be brought before the judge. Do you see what I mean?
And did I make so that point clear to
you
the judge?
You did. You made that point clear, but they're just looking at the facts. And so you will get awarded what you need, but you're not going to be able to prevent him from hiding or you know, not sharing what he's hidden, because he's absolutely put it somewhere out of your reach.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. Just
it's a frustrating endeavor. How long were you married?
It's a 30-year relationship.
Yeah.
I think, well, from start to finish, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure he's probably hidden $200,000 over a 10-year span. And there's no way to prove it.
Yes, and that's probably very accurate. But it feels like because it can't be proved, you're going to have to move on without it and leave it behind. And you know what? It creates a void that will be filled again with something else. That's what you're not seeing, and that's why all this has occurred, because maybe you're not supposed to even have that or have to go through that hassle. It's about you moving forward without him with a new love and attaining your own heart's desire.
Yeah, I work so hard all those years, and to have it slapped in my face that he's, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, my God, he's been hiding. And you never, you know what I mean?
I know, but you got to let it go. That could be one of the lessons from the universe, too. I mean, this will come back on him in other ways. If he's taken, he'll be taken from. Do you see what I mean? And you don't want to be part of that whole karmic loop. Your whole path in all this is to move forward. And the longer you stay in this, the more blocks it creates so that you can't move forward. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
All right, honey.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Steve, you have a call from Texas.
Great. Thank you. Who's calling from Texas?
Jamie.
Jamie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, Jamie. How can I help?
I was just wondering if the guy that I was... I mean, y'all need names and stuff like that. That's fine, I don't care.
No, you don't need to give me a name.
I was just wondering if the guy that I was with is going to be coming back.
We'll come back. Let's see. You know, I feel that he could. I hesitate to say that, Jamie, because I don't like to put someone in a state of expectation. I wouldn't like to think that I encourage you to hold on to the past and avoid...
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, what was your name? I didn't catch it.
My name.
Right.
My name's Steve.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Steve. I'm sorry, Steve. The only reason I asked that is because, I mean, I'm pregnant. And he's just...
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, well, when I look at the cards and when I ask my guides, I get the feeling that it isn't over. Okay, Jamie? And I know the situation is difficult for you. If you're... not only looking back at the relationship, but you're pregnant. That's really challenging. And I didn't want to just say to you, yes, he comes back. It'll all be fine, because it's important that you take responsibility for creating what you want to create. And I do feel that there is potential.
If he does come back, should I take him?
Sorry, say that again, Jamie. Jamie, I didn't hear what you said. I was speaking and then you spoke. I couldn't hear what you said. Are you still there, Jamie?
I think she hung up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, she got cut off, or she... Well, if she's still listening, I wanted to say to her, Maureen, that there is a potential that he will come back, but I don't feel that... I don't feel that she should just presume that he will come back and make her decisions purely on that basis, because there are definitely issues between them that need to be addressed. And you know what it's like when somebody might want to come back to a relationship, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship's all sweetness and roses. So there are definitely issues to be worked through, but I don't feel that she's heard the end of it. I do feel that she will hear from him.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you, Brenda. It's okay. Maureen, you've got a call from
Wisconsin. Second time around, and that means that's a sign of goodness. Hello, Wisconsin.
Hello. Hi. Yes, I was wondering, I have a situation where I kind of have to, like, turn myself in for something, and I was just wondering if you could tell me what if the outcome for me doing that is going to be good or bad.
Oh, very good. This is a very direct question, everybody. Take note. I appreciate it. What's your name?
My name is Dee.
Okay, great. Okay, good name. Okay, you know what? This is, you know, it looked like he wanted to do, or you tried to do this. I mean, you put action into it recently. I mean, in the recent past, you even did, and it felt like it would be liberating. Somehow or another, maybe it's something stopped you from doing this. And I think it was coming from all the negative judgment from everybody else of doing the right thing. You are to be, I'm giving you a clap in a nice way, clapping because I admire you. And I feel that there's something about, like I said, it looked like you were going to do that and it felt liberating. The next thing you know, negative judgments coming from outside influences. I don't know who it was particularly, people judging you for doing this. So I feel that what you're doing right now, you're thinking, okay, I made the wrong decision by not going ahead and doing what I wanted to do. I feel it's going to be a very positive outcome for you completely to whatever you need to turn yourself, however you put it. I don't know how you worded it. Turn yourself in is what you said.
Yes.
Okay, so that's basically, it's pretty clear cut what you're talking about. Turning yourself into, and you're up for the repercussion, whatever, you're ready to be held accountable, whatever that might be.
Right.
You didn't have a lot of support with that, and it's really sad in our world, everybody take a note, because this is interesting, because you are the type of person that wants to do the right thing, and you find that other people that you would think would be supportive of that are close to you, are not. And what does that mean? You know, correct. You raised yourself. You raised yourself. You've done well. You know, I see nothing but really positive things coming from what your choices. And I do feel that you made an indecision not to prior to this. You were about to. But you wanted the support. You're not going to get it because in our world, it's just la-la land for some. You are a great woman. Not only that, you're a great woman to see, I want to do the right thing. And I from doing that and by doing so and reflecting on maybe you made the wrong choice, you have an opportunity to do the right thing always. And I see you moving ahead. You may not get the support you want from the people, but really they need to get a grip on their lives and get it together about what they would do and doing the right thing. I see nothing but really positive things. You're going to get some knowledge. I see you getting some really good news that will come through this too, by doing the right thing.
Okay.
It's very positive. Even though it may not feel
like
that way.
That I should do it?
That you should. I don't like to tell people, well, you should or shouldn't. I'm encouraging you to move forward because you had thought about you were on your way to doing it before, it looks like, recently.
Yeah.
You stopped perhaps because of people not being supportive or judgment, negative judgment, when in fact, like I said, what would they do? They should be doing the right thing. But you're looking in, it's really sad when you look at people that you or family or people that you should be supportive, and they're saying, no, that's not the right thing to do. Well, you're the most honest person I think I've ever come across in a reading, okay? Really, not kidding.
Okay.
and I applaud you.
Thank you.
And like I said, I do feel that you now are thinking, okay, I made the wrong decision. I need to take a deep breath and do the right thing. The next thing you know, what I'm seeing you coming out, if you choose to do so, I'm encouraging you to do it, the right thing, and take care of what you need to. By doing so, I see good news will come from this for you. And I see it'll be it's fantastic. I know it's hard, but it'll be fantastic for you as an individual.
And right. I see that you'll get a time frame that I should.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. You know that you wouldn't be asking this question if you wouldn't even be going in this. There wouldn't even be this subject matter right now. But I think you know. You know, follow yourself. Follow what you think is right. Not what everybody else is judging you. Not because really, I have to applaud you again. You're going to do the right thing, but it's going to be very positive. That's what I'm getting. Surprisingly enough, it'll be very positive for you. I know it may sound ludicrous, but it doesn't. You'll be getting a lot out. I feel you will get that sense of liberation from this. You'll be okay. I don't see that you're going to get as bad as you think. This will be something you could write a book about later for others. Okay.
Okay. And do you see like me losing out on anything because I do this, or am I gaining? I'm pretty much gaining from it, right?
No, I see all good things coming. You know, for every negative, there's a positive. Okay. So anything out of the negativity, there's going to be a big positive that will come through from this by you setting a good example for your own self too by that. But you know, everybody talks about, oh, we're all, you know, doing the right thing, and nobody really does. You're bothered by it. You want to do it, and I say you do it. But I do see really good positive things coming back to you because of doing that. And really, that's what it comes down to. I don't think you murdered any. You know, I'm not saying you're. You know, there's certain you know situations, but with whatever your situation is, I'm getting, I see really good positive in return. For, you know, the higher pain sorrows are better rewards. It's painful, but by doing the right thing, like I said, I really admire you, or even the question you're asking about. And yes, I see you. You're going to thrive, and you're going to be balanced, and you're going to move forward from this. And everybody else that wasn't supportive, they should look at their own morals and values and everything else, if you ask me. But that's just if you're asking me. But I see this to be – it'll be fine. It's not going to be immediately gratifying, but it will be well-received, and I see that you'll be moving forward in your life liberated. It's very good.
Okay.
I hope I helped
you. That sounds so good. Yeah.
You take care of yourself, and good for you. A real person.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Well. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Well.
This brings us to the end of yet another fantabulous show. We want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be hosted by Steve. Steve, what do you have in store for us?
Next week, we have a show with Teresa Richardson. She's been a guest for us before, just over a year ago. And we will be talking about psychic development.
Oh, fabulous.
Awesome. Sounds interesting.
Well,
goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Have a great week out there.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.